806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Tuesday. Sean Dalton checking in with Quinn Hillier in just a second, but a couple pieces of show-related business. Important things. Number one, this call for N95 masks. Now, it's obviously something that's needed throughout the healthcare field, but this is right here at home, and this is a hospital that, and like I said last hour, everybody working in the medical field right now, y'all are my heroes going into this, let alone the pictures Dalton and I were talking about last hour, those healthcare workers in Italy that have bruising, purple bruising on their face from the amount of time they've spent in those masks. But here at home, USA Children's and Women's Hospital, which is a fantastic, fantastic facility, is in need of N95 masks. So they have a lot of fancy language here on, let me put it in this way. Y'all look in the shop, look out in your shop. If you did fiberglass work or sanding, you probably had some things. I know some folks, like when it's dry and you're working in the yard, if you're mowing and kicking up dust and stuff, people wear them. Not all masks are N95. The 95 is the amount of filtration, the tightness of the weave. But like Terry pointed out earlier, if you have a mask that's higher, like an N99, that would also, I would guess, and if somebody at Children's and Women's Hospital, if that's incorrect, let me know, but I would think it would be N95 and higher. Mm-hmm. That you would be able to use, that they're looking for those. Now, you can contact us here at the radio station. Heck, you can send me a direct email to Sean, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com, and I'll put you in touch with them, or you can take them by. But they are in need of those masks, and that is USA Children's and Women's Hospital. Need I say more?
Yeah, and as we expect to see a rush of cases and a lot more people going to the hospital because of this, just look over at Italy, who's being hit.
Mm-hmm.
They're being slammed right now by COVID-19, and how many of their medical workers are falling ill with this.
Yes.
And because they're, I believe, low on supplies over in Italy too, so we need to try our best to make sure it doesn't happen to that extent here in America.
Okay, so let's do our part here at home. Mm-hmm. And get those. We had that great story about 100,000 pieces, and I don't have the actual breakdown of what they all were, but 100,000 pieces of personal protective equipment that were donated anonymously to state health. So that's going to be distributed. That was done yesterday. Governor Ivey tweeting about that. That's pretty awesome. And then we started talking a little bit about Tyvek suits. Mm-hmm. Last hour. And those are things that you get. I mean, you're doing, I keep going back to fiberglass work, but that's what my experience has been. You use those when you're working fiberglass so you don't have the itchy underside of your forearms and all that stuff. You get keep the fiberglass off you. A lot of people have those. A lot of people have them in the car in case you got to change a tire or something like that. Those things, those Tyvek suits. So I went looking during the news break there, and Dalton is my witness, I found some online to buy.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were only an extra large, but heck, we'll put some rubber bands and tape around people to make them fit. But you could get those. So, because I didn't know if they would work, but Jason, who is an RN, texted and said Tyvek will work perfectly.
Wow.
So, shift and figure out what works improvise and overcome. And, I think those Tyvek suits available. I mean, I keep going back to, I know there's other places to have them. There's local places to have them. Let's go to them and get them first. But I was thinking, I always see that like in the Northern Equipment catalogs and things like that, those Tyvek suits. Let's get those to the healthcare professionals.
Yeah, that'd be huge. And, we're talking about the medical workers. You think doctors, nurses. We also think of law enforcement that's out there working and, putting themselves at risk. And Brian says here, don't forget, he says, shout out to the environmental services at the hospital. My daughter has to clean all these rooms. So there's a number of people that are out there working hard and putting themselves in danger to try to help save American lives.
Well, I tell you one thing we are good at. You can look at the history of our republic is gathering together and, the discussion. This is somewhat like a wartime situation. It's a global pandemic we're fighting, and our country has shown itself to be resilient, pulled together, and improvised over time. So I think we can do this. So let's all work together, keep pulling the same direction. And we'll keep all the information here and keep passing along and let you know if you find those. Just go out there. I searched through the shop yesterday because I did have some at some point. Just go look and see if you have some of those N95 masks. And if you do, make that donation to USA Children's and Women's Hospital. All right. Now, on with the hour and checking in with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also, the author of the Mad Jones trilogy, available at Amazon right now. Hey, Quinn.
Hello, guys, and let me throw something in about the masks. Look, the medical people and the people working in hospitals do have to have those N95 masks.
Right.
But for everybody else, it's also worth knowing, if you're, I don't know, if you're in a place where you suspect somebody, you know, might have gotten the virus, they don't have a test back yet, you don't have an N95 mask, but, you know, but you have to be there for whatever reason, even for a little while, it is absolutely true that if you put a bandana across your face, that has the equivalent of a 40 to 50% blockage. So it's better than nothing. So
sure.
This does not do anything to help people that are in the trenches, like hospital workers.
Right.
But just know that there are other things you can do to improvise to help keep yourself at least a little bit safer, like bandanas and other masks that aren't N95 but are, you know, officially masks. They can do good. They just don't do enough good to be, you know, almost certain safety like the hospital ones.
Let me just put some country-style Sullivanese on it, though, y'all. Before you put a bandana around your face and tie it up, don't walk into a store like that, okay? Don't do that. That makes the shop owner nervous. All right, Quinn, I want to talk about this, too, is that while I think we have 167 cases, I got to check out the latest number, in the 197 in the state of Alabama, you look down the road to a state that you're very familiar with, Louisiana, and they're 800-something. It is the highest growth rate of coronavirus cases in the world right now per capita.
Yes, and I know several people over there that that unfortunately have it, and it's, you know, and it's really scary.
So you do know, because I hear people will text me and email the station and call and say, I don't know anybody that has it. Sean, do you know somebody that has it? I say no, but I think it's just a matter of time. You do know people that have gotten it.
Well, yeah, I know several people in Louisiana, and I know one person, I'll just say, in Alabama, who I happened to sit next to a couple of weeks ago, probably before he got it. Sat next to him for 45 minutes. You know, pray for all of these people. Mm-hmm. This is even those who survive, and everybody's saying, "Oh, well, the survival rate is going to be 97% to 99%." That's ignoring the fact that even those who survive, a much higher percentage of them than people with the flu need hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are clearly asymptomatic cases, there are also a lot more people than the percentage with the flu who, even if they don't need hospitalization, feel really, really bad. This can be a very nasty, very scary thing. So you don't want to catch it, period.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because we had talked about that in the 6 o'clock hour, because we're focused on those with, you know, compromised immune systems or the older folks here. But I've seen firsthand stories online from people in their, I think one person was in their 20s, but I know the others were in their 30s and one of their 40s that went through it. And they said, it affects everybody differently, but these people who were healthy, didn't have any underlying conditions, said this knocked them on their butt. They said it was worse than the worst flu they ever had, and the issue was being able to breathe, right? Get the air in there. They didn't have to be put on ventilators. They didn't have to have oxygen, but they said you were conscious of your breathing. You had to think about it.
Yeah.
Because the lack of oxygen coming in there. And they said it really, really made them sick. So that is another part of this. As we try to protect those that it could be lethal for, it can also just make people very, very sick. And I know that the worry is, will there be long-term lung damage to these people that
right,
get it?
Because there's definitely an expectation from everything that I'm reading, and I'm no medical person, but I do have all day to follow this and to read as many good sources as I can, not just, you know, internet crazy sources. And they do have reason to believe that this can cause long-term lung damage, even for people that survive.
Let's look at the dual tracks of this fight against coronavirus. And this is the tough thing. You've got the medical side here as we're trying to stem this and using social distancing and quarantining it to not give the coronavirus new host, right, for this virus. At the same time, we're looking at the pandemic to the economy. And it has been people are always waiting to say something's unprecedented, something's once in a lifetime. I've never seen anything like this, Quinn. I mean, I've never seen anything like this on, even go back to 9/11, even go back to the economic crash. I've not seen it so quick and so widespread.
No, and nobody alive in your listenership probably has either. I mean, unless you've got a listener who was fully cogent as a, say, three-year-old in 1918 who's now 105. Nobody has seen anything like this. And let's hope we don't again. People who want to underplay this, you know, as if there's nothing here and we shouldn't do anything, they're wrong. On the other hand, you can overreact. And sometimes if you're getting ahead of the game, you might be overreacting. I would argue that some colleges didn't need to close as early as they did, that actually made things worse, but we can debate that. But here's an example, just because it's so obvious. The PGA tournament, the Tournament Players Championship, it had already started. They, all the golfers and their caddies and the equipment people were there already. They played one round with the crowd, and then they decided halfway through the round that they would finish without crowds. That was a good decision. You don't want crowds elbow to elbow with this stuff. But then when they decided to cancel the tournament entirely, that made no sense, because there is almost no place safer anywhere, at least in urban or suburban America, than a golf course. You're spread across wide open places. You are in open air. If you've got no fans out there, the players, they're already there. They're going to be safer on the golf course than they are going to be in their hotels. The caddies are going to be safer. Most of the, few technical people that are needed are going to be safer doing what they're doing than they are if they are out going to the grocery store. So once they had started it, they should have finished that tournament. That's just one example. It was literally worse for the health of everybody involved not to finish the tournament once they were already there.
Is there a middle road, Quinn? Because, you talk about, let's say that the coronavirus will affect, firsthand and secondhand, being the person who gets the coronavirus and then their related family members and friends. Let's say, I throw out a number, this is just throwing out a number. It's 30% of the population that is affected, but 100% of the population is affected by what's happened to the economy. I mean, this is affecting rich to poor, East Coast to West Coast, Middle America, North, South, all of us.
Yeah, and look, I have been having people at both sides mad at me because I keep saying there is a happy medium, and then, of course, the no-problem people say that, that I'm pushing too much response, and the sky is falling people say that I'm pushing too little.
Right.
But I do think there's a happy medium. I don't actually think it's at 50-50, though. I think it's more at like 85 or 90% respond as hard as severely as you can, because this is really bad. But that's still not the, oh my God, shut everything down mode. Here's the problem with my 85 to 90% position. In the first couple of weeks, after we finally figure out how serious this is, and it took us too long, a lot of people don't get subtlety. A lot of people don't get complications. Especially when it's emotional, you don't want to you know, go into the second or third level of what does this mean. And it's a lot easier to get the message out if you go all the way in one direction. And so, because otherwise trying to do a case by case, well, maybe you shouldn't do this, but this is okay to do, et cetera, that gets confusing for a lot of people who don't have the time to even think about, you know, this in a deep way. So that's, so even though I get critical of overreaction, in the first couple of weeks it makes sense. But now that we're into this, now that we're shut down so much, within about a week we should start thinking of targeted reopenings, either geographically or by function, because not everything that we're doing actually helps. Some things actually hurt by cutting supply chains for necessary things that keep other people alive. So this is where, after we've gone all out, and I can understand the going all out, we do need to move more to the happy medium, more to the targeted response than we've been doing. That's my contention.
And what's your reaction to 2-3 days worth of holdup of votes coming out of the Senate here? Another no vote, not enough to pass that package out. Democrats are saying that this is a slush fund for big companies out there. And you heard Mitch McConnell saying this is Democrats trying to replay the Green New Deal.
I'm extremely disgusted. Well, I'm disgusted with all of them, but especially with the Democrats, who are adding clearly extraneous provisions onto this. Look, the first rule should be, if this does not directly have to do with recovery from the problems caused by the coronavirus, it shouldn't be there. Period, end of question. And if it is, you are holding hostage the lives and health of hundreds of millions of Americans in order to try to get your pet political project. There is a special place in Dante's realm for you, okay? That means Nancy Pelosi. That means Chuck Schumer. That means most of the Democrats.
Coming right back. Hold on, Quinn. We'll go to the news break. Come right back. Pick it up there on the politics of coronavirus. We'll talk about that and talk about what it means back home in Alabama with a postponement, a June 14th date for the Senate and the AL1 and AL2, all the runoffs. FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Right back to our conversation with Quinn Hillier from QuinnHillier.com. Also read his work in the Washington Examiner and the Matt Jones Trilogy, available on Amazon right now. Quinn, in just a minute here, so your reaction, finish your reaction to the votes that have not happened.
Here's what Congress should do. It should be easy. You find everything that a majority agrees on, and you only put that in the first bill because you've time is of the essence.
Preach.
So find what you agree on, pass that, and then come back for the stuff that's more disputed. It's so easy. You don't have to get one huge package like Congress always wants to do and have it perfect. If everybody agrees on it, put it in there, pass it, then come back later for the more complicated stuff. And then there's a second step, but I don't have time to,
get into that. We'll talk about that in future shows, because that's a bigger subject to how Congress works. You would think that they could shed that I get some, you get some mentality in this situation, but obviously not. Maybe what you said right there boils it down. That's what needs to happen today. What
We're
do you all
in
agree
an
on?
Emergency. Act like it, for God's sake.
Yep.
Stop the political games. It makes me sick.
Well said. And just a couple minutes here to talk about the postponed runoff, the primary runoff in Alabama. What does this mean? I had Jeff Sessions on yesterday, asked him, and I've asked him a couple times what it means for his campaign. But I'll ask you, what does it mean for Jeff's campaign?
Well, I think it gives him a better chance. Look, he was starting to rack up endorsements, National Rifle Associations, a bunch of leaders of the Christian Coalition of Alabama, a bunch of sheriffs and DAs and a lot of other endorsements, the Forestry Association. But those people would have had only 2 weeks to put a plan into place to help them win, because all of them have what's known as ground games. They provide organization. Well, by giving more time, they can actually put their organizations in place rather than have to ramp them up in 2 weeks. So organization-heavy endorsements take more time to bear fruit. He now has the time. The endorsements that Tommy Tuberville have tend to be TV endorsements that don't take time. You can just throw the darn TV thing up there. But Jeff's endorsements that he's now racking up will get organized, will get people on the phones, will get mailers going out, and they can really help now that he's got the time.
Okay. Well, we'll get in another discussion how much endorsements matter, but their funding does and their phone banks do. And I'll say this, that I think, well, I know this for a fact, and Dalton can witness this every time that that Jeff Sessions gets on the show and talks and explains himself, and I ask the questions and the things that are alleged against him, and he talks, and people say, well, I didn't know that. That helps, you know, helps me understand this better. And I have people say, that's changed my mind. So
Exactly, because he actually does have some very good cogent explanations for what he did, and meanwhile, conservatives that are very pro-Trump but have been around the Justice Department for a long time, people at the Heritage Foundation, have written that he did a great job from a conservative standpoint.
Thank you, Quinn. We'll check back soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Quinn, everybody.
All right. Thank you. Quinn Hill, you're checking in, and we'll be right back with more of Mobile Mornings. Phone number, text line, 343-0106. Some personal stories, people that know folks that have coronavirus. We're going to tell some of these in a second. And I want to talk about truckers, too, when we get back.
835 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Let's head on over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning. So we've been talking about these great deals that have been passed down from GM to McConnell. Why don't you tell us about them?
Well, Dalton, we're excited about it, but, you know, the number one thing we want to do is just help people with their family and their faith and stay connected. And, you know, these deals are kind of an extension of that McConnell philosophy of just trying to help the community. And a best example, buddy, is this 84-month financing for 0% interest, and you can defer payments for 4 months. So it's just a way to help people, you know, get unprecedented finance savings. And, you know, Dalton, we got some of these Mardi Gras trucks left and all over our lot. We sold a lot of used cars in the last week, just giving people better than even regular prices, trying to help out. And the 0% financing, all those details are on our website. And people just got to go to McConnellAutomotive.com, man. But we're just trying to help out, buddy.
All right. Thank you, Mitch.
Y'all have a great Tuesday.
You too. That's Mitch McConnell. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and the website, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right. Coming up, y'all, small business folks, hold on a second, because I got a piece of information you need coming your way in a second, and then you'll be able to hear more about it today at 1. But I want to read these two texts, and then I want to get into some of the others about coronavirus. But on the political front, this is good. I like when I get from both sides here. So let's say Terry and Jimmy. So Terry says, I think this delay hurts Tommy Tuberville. The longer it goes, the larger chance is that folks will see the wannabe emperor has no clothes. Talking about Tuberville. Okay. Jimmy in Bay Minette says, Sean, wouldn't you agree that it appears as though people are willing to completely throw caution into the wind and put a new man in that position, as in Tommy Tuberville, rather than put someone back in there who's already been in Washington for so long? Just seems to me that is a no matter what the situation, even if the man did a good job, he had his turn and the state of Alabama wants new meat. So there you go. So Terry and Jimmy, I think, mm-hmm. are pretty good examples of the back and forth of Tuberville and Sessions.
Yeah, and I can see both sides of the argument. You know, this helps Tommy Tuberville or this helps Jeff Sessions. One thing I would look at is President Trump continues to take blows from the media and politicians and, you know, regular people out there keep going after the president. I could see this totally galvanizing people even more behind whatever candidate they feel mm-hmm. is more in support of President Trump or has the president's support, which in this case would be Tommy Tuberville.
The second one is the important one.
Mm-hmm. And, you know,
because they will all, I'm sorry, y'all, and this is going on in the AL1 Republican primary runoff too. They all support President Trump. I'm sorry to ruin all the, you know, and I make every campaign mad at me when I say this, but I'm sorry. There's not a person in Alabama running on the Republican ticket that doesn't support President Trump. Let's move past that and figure out what the difference between the candidates are. Now, the second part, having the endorsement from Trump, I think obviously moves the needle some for Tuberville. But when people say this one supports Trump, the other one doesn't, come on, y'all, come on.
Yeah.
They all support Trump.
And I'd like to see a new poll. I know one of the later polls that we had, and I think it's been about a month now, maybe even longer, but Tuberville had seemed to build a pretty cushiony lead for as close as we thought this race would be.
Well, at one point, people thought it would be a complete blowout for Jeff Sessions.
Mm-hmm. So early on, it seemed that way. But I'd like to see the new numbers now. And it seems now that more people than ever are paying attention to the nightly news. Now, of course, 95% of the nightly news has been all about coronavirus, but you still got these political races going on. I am so fascinated by this election being moved back and who it helps and who it hurts.
Yeah, we'll continue that discussion, of course, of nationally and locally, the same way we do coronavirus. And the interviews we do, whether it's from the health side of it, you pointed out to our conversation with Dr. Mackey, state superintendent of schools, about the kids, when they go back to school, what happens with them, the elected officials, all that is in one place. Now, you could get it if you're already, hopefully you subscribe for our podcast at iTunes or Stitcher or any of the other podcast platforms, or you go to fmtalk1065.com and just click the podcast tab. But if you're looking for these interviews, this information, firsthand accounts from the people that make the decisions, that have the information, I mean, like when we talked to Bradley Byrne the other day, Representative Byrne, he gets the briefings that we all don't get, so he relays that information back here. You know, same thing when you have somebody at a local level, like Mayor Stimson. You know, he has information he's getting from a state level and a national level. So those interviews are all on a tab on the front page of the website. It says COVID-19 local news. If you click that, the interview, you can kind of browse through there and see what you want to listen to.
Yeah, and just as a disclaimer, we have the dates that those interviews took place. And in this ever-changing situation,
that's true.
Some small things in the interviews might have changed since then, but
look at the date before. That's right. Good point.
We talked with Mobile County License Commissioner Nick Matranga, for instance, and you talked with Alabama Marine Resources Director Scott Bannon. So all these different organizations are going about this in their own ways, but also kind of, you know, we're all heading in the same direction. So what is affected by shutdowns? What isn't? We've got all that information right there. And also, we're keeping this on the very front of FMTalk1065.com for the near future, the COVID-19 hotlines for Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi. With the rush of patients, they're not wanting you to go in without calling someone first. If you feel like you're getting coronavirus symptoms, you want to call your health provider or call these COVID-19 hotlines. Let them know how you're feeling. Let them know what you're going through, and then they'll say, okay, yeah, this sounds pretty serious, or it sounds like you might need to go and get tested. And we've got those hotline numbers for Alabama, Florida, and Mississippi all listed right there on the front page.
All right, so it's all at fmtalk1065.com. On our text line, Tony says, my cousin in Texas, I was just looking for personal stories because I know a lot of people say, well, I don't think this is, you know, a big deal. I don't know anybody that has the virus. So this is why I was asking for, and I actually, now that did a little looking, I actually do know somebody who has the virus. But I didn't, earlier this morning, I hadn't thought of it, but I do. But it's a distant connection. Tony says, my cousin in Texas has the virus. She's an extreme diabetic and is recovering well. That's great news, Tony. Low-grade fever, dizziness, and diarrhea were the big issues. Also, let's see, these move so quickly.
Yeah,
there's another
person. One unnamed texter here says, I have a son who's a pastor in Indiana, been sick for about a week. He was told it would be about a $3,000 out-of-pocket expense to be tested. So we're seeing,
whoa.
I don't know if that's from a private lab or not, but testing supplies obviously in short order right now.
This on the political front. Michael says, I do not like career politicians, but at this point in our nation, we need a fighter, and we know who that fighter is. I was on the fence, but now I'm voting for Jeff Sessions. Yeah, I see a lot of those texts coming in here. So we'll talk about the political front. Let me take a second here and promote something happens at 1 o'clock today. You've heard the promos, but sometimes it's better for me to stop everybody and y'all listen. So Cam Marston, who does What's Working on Wednesday nights here at FM Talk 106.5, has started a special program, and it's going to run twice a week here on FM Talk 106.5. It's going to run at 1 o'clock today and 1 o'clock on Thursday. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, Cam is going to take over the second hour of Midday Mobile. He's got his What's Working special edition, Reacting to This New Economy. Cam, you know, if you listen to past shows, he focuses on business and small businesses. That's exactly what he's doing. He's got a Rolodex. He's got fantastic guests he gets booked here. And he's going to be looking through the new economy, what we're dealing with on the other side of the ledger, right? One side is the medical side. The other side is what it's doing to our economy. And what does it mean for small business folks right here in Mobile and Baldwin County? Well, he's booked interviews with people from all things that apply, you know, as small business loans, navigating employing, navigating cash flow, all these kind of subjects that are so critical to business here in Mobile and Baldwin County and elsewhere as well. But that's, you know, we're about Southwest Alabama. He's doing these interviews, and these are going to be podcasted as well, so you'll be able to check them out later, and we'll share them. But you can listen today at 1 and Thursday at 1. So Tuesdays and Thursdays going forward. Hopefully it doesn't go on too long and things get back around, yeah. But this is the information you need to know, and it's going to be in a specific place. So Tuesdays and Thursdays here at FM Talk 106.5 at 1 o'clock. So the second hour of Midday Mobile is going to be What's Working Special Edition, Reacting to the New Economy with Cam Marston. Make sure to tune in today, but that is today at 1 o'clock. Maybe take your phone and put the little reminder in there for today at 1 o'clock to check that out.
Yeah, put the reminder in so that after you listen to the first hour of Midday Mobile, you'll stay on and listen to Cam Marston.
All right. So, and the thing is, you say, well, I'm back in the office. Listen, you can, your smartphone, TuneIn Radio, free app. You can listen to us on your smartphone. You can listen to us streaming on the website, fmtalk1065.com. What's cool about using the TuneIn Radio app as well, if you do get a call or a text, it'll pause the audio and pick it back up. Mm-hmm. But make sure to be checking that out today at 1 o'clock. Part of what we're doing here at FM Talk 106.5 going forward to help out everybody here, small businesses, those folks that work for small businesses, local folks, you know, in a world of big conglomerates that seem to get to skip in line when it comes to, you know, big issues like this. We are a local business. We care about local business. This is what we're focused on, and this is what we're going to deliver on going forward. All right, that phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming back, we'll take your calls in a second.
Yeah, and just a quick little bit of good news, and hopefully it'll last. But, you know, the markets opened not that long ago, and with hopes that that Congress will reach a stimulus deal here in the next few hours, Dow Jones up nearly 1,200 points this morning, and S&P up 121 points, and NASDAQ up as well. So hopefully we'll keep seeing these gains in the markets.
I love it. I love it. 8:46, we'll return next, and we'll check out Dr. Bill's forecast and WKRG News right now. Right, 8:51 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Mobile Mornings. By the way, we're talking about small business, and maybe you have a little extra time at the house right now to identify junk around the house. Then get my buddy Trey and his crew from 1-800-GOT-JUNK to get rid of it. I mean, already look at the stuff piled up when it comes to yard. I mean, there's been a lot of yard work going on as people have been staying at home and quarantined. Maybe you advance that on into the house or around the house. Listen, that's something, too. We always think about 1-800-GOT-JUNK and stuff inside the house, like that junk room that used to be a guest room. But they get stuff outside the house. It could be the contents of a storage shed. Heck, he'll move whole storage sheds and get rid of those. Maybe you've got a swing set in the backyard. Your youngest child's in their 30s. Just saying. Maybe it's time to let that go. You got junk you don't know what to do with it, a storage unit, wherever. You got junk, you need it gone. You need 1-800-GOT-JUNK. And that is my buddy Trey, a national company, but he is the local franchisee for the last 11 years. Mobile and Baldwin counties doing great work. 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. You call the number, go to the website. They'll set an appointment time on a day, specific day, specific time. It's refreshing. They'll show up. They quote your price. If you say yes, they get to work and get it done. It's 1-800-GOT-JUNK, online at 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com. Also, I want to give a shout out here. And I heard this yesterday on the Feinbaum Show, and it reminded me. Told you this weekend I stopped at the Dollar General in Citronelle. And I was there picking up some supplies, heading north. And guy walks in there. After I told you I got too close to the guy in line and thought I needed to move back to the 6 feet, I did that.
Yeah.
Then a guy walks in with his wife and starts basically hollering at the woman working at Dollar General. Not hollering, but talking really mean to her. He said, you know, y'all ain't got no bread in there. And she said, well, we're, you know, waiting for the next truck to come in with it. He said, well, they don't care, and y'all don't care. And he's dogging out the cashier at Dollar General, and then dogging out the drivers of the trucks. At, you know, just disgusting. I mean, people get angry and they don't think. They just want to yell. They just want to yell at somebody. They just want to be a jerk to somebody. And, you know, it just disgusts me. And then, you know, to bring in the cashier and bring in the drivers. Listen, the drivers out there, and I heard them talking about this on Feinbaum. God bless y'all. CDL folks, people that are driving local delivery routes, over the road, long distance, they are working their butts off right now to get supplies as people panic buy things and hoard things, and therefore those supplies aren't there for the other people. The companies are ramping up production, but it's not going to get to your store unless a trucker brings it there, right? Unless a local delivery or over-the-road trucker brings it there, it's not getting there. And so for people who have jerky attitudes about the trucker out there, I have no tolerance for it. I want to celebrate those folks. You should always do it, but they are the backbone of what gets our supply chain to us, we the people in this country. So hats off to the truckers out there. I'm glad that I heard that on Feinbaum as they celebrated them last night. Good for them, and good for y'all. Thank you.
Yeah, and a side note, my buddy is a truck driver out in Seattle right now. And, of course, Seattle, Washington was the first state to really start dealing with the coronavirus in the United States. Obviously, New York has gone above everybody else. But Seattle, you know, they're all on lockdown out there. He said he drove his truck Friday afternoon, 5 p.m. rush hour, drove through the streets of downtown Seattle at 60 miles an hour. Now, Seattle is known for traffic on top of other things, but at rush hour on Friday in Seattle, there were so few people out that he was driving 60 miles an hour in his big rig.
You know, I thought something kind of close to that yesterday as I drove down Old Shaw, went to a local hardware store, local company, the Ace store there near my house. And what's up, Tip? And I went and got pine straw because I, like everybody else, I'm doing big yard projects right now. And I was driving back westbound on Old Shell to the house, and it was like no traffic. Usually it's a madhouse.
Is there a run on pine straw now?
No, they had good supplies of pine straw. I filled up the back. I filled it up with that. All right, go to the phones. Chris is in Mobile first up. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris. I'm a trucker. I'm having to leave my house at 2:00 in the morning. We're doing everything we can do. Wide open, baby. Wide open.
Hey, thank you.
I mean, we can only go so fast, and you know, we don't want to hurt nobody or kill nothing, man. I mean,
Chris, I'm with you.
I just don't see why somebody would be aggravated at the truckers when you know, you leave at 2:00 in the morning. That's about all you see on the interstate right now. That's all they got to do is leave at 2:00 in the morning and start heading northbound on 65 or southbound, and that's all you're going to see right now is trucks. So we're doing everything we can do to help the public. You know what I mean?
I thank you. I'm on your team. I think 99% of us are. I think there's some jerks out there that aren't, but 99% of us are very appreciative of what you do. And so you're running wide open, and obviously your fellow truckers are. I know y'all are limited on how much you can run a day, but I'm sure you're pushing it up to the, you know, to the edge.
We're pushing it to the limit, man. We're going to the limit, and it just, you know, everybody just needs to have a little patience. You know, we can only deliver what's on the truck. I mean, it ain't our fault, you know.
That's right. We appreciate it, because we'd have nothing if it wasn't for y'all, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all have a great day. Love listening to you, man. You keep me going from the time y'all get there to the time you end, and I go right into the next program. So, you have a great day, man. We love listening to y'all.
Hey, thanks, Chris. I appreciate you and all the other folks out in the trucks right now. Therese in Mobile, got about a minute and a half here. Therese?
Yeah, just a real quick question. You know, the Chinese were experiencing a tremendous loss in their pig and their pork industry the end of last year. Do you think there's any connection between what was killing those pigs and this coronavirus?
Well, I did read up on that. I guess they lost almost half of their pork supply in China. African swine fever is what they said was going through the pork population. Obviously, we don't want that to come to America because we're the largest exporter of pigs, but right now they say that can't spread from pigs to humans. So I'm not sure that that's directly connected to what we're going through right now, but in a way, I mean, it originated in China. You look at how many people are in China and how much livestock they have there in China, all kind of piled up on top of each other. So in a way, maybe the same reasons that it spread there are the same, but I don't think COVID-19 and the African swine fever and the pigs has anything to do with each other.
Okay. Thank you.
There we go. Hey, thanks for bringing that up. Listen, we're all just learning on this.
We're all
just learning. All right, Mike Gallagher Show is on the way next for all the folks driving the big rigs, you CDL folks and everybody else. Mike Gallagher Show until noon, and then we're back with Midday Mobile at noon and special programming today. It's going to be on Tuesdays and Thursdays going forward for, I've got to tell you, the foreseeable future. Special small business edition of What's Working with our buddy Cam Barston, focusing on those issues. You got questions, I know you do. Cam's going to get them answered today.